Robust, he's talking. Okay. I know some folks that might like to, you know. I don't know if you noticed, I almost broke out laughing up in choir a moment ago when I was singing and playing the tambourine, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you know, Miriam played a tambourine. I said, yeah, I know that. I read that in the book. And he said, and she also danced. I said, what? And I heard the Holy Spirit and me laugh together, because he knew when he told me to dance, he knew what the response was going to be that he was going to get from me, okay? Because I don't think I've ever just jumped out and danced in a church. And I better watch what I'm saying here. The Holy Ghost will come on me and I'll start flying out there in the chairs. It seems like we've been opening up with kind of a funny story, so I asked the Lord about that, because I don't want to interfere with the anointing, because sometimes, you know, when it comes time to minister, there's such a presence of God that you just don't feel like joking, you know. And I was talking to the Lord about that, and he said, that's okay to joke, it's okay. So I got a joke, and it's this. The evangelist was preaching a meeting, great meeting, and the meeting was over with, and he said, if there's anybody here that desires prayer, would you please come forward? He said, if you need healing, finances, whatever, come forward, God's here. And with God, all things are possible. So the people started coming. The one guy came to the evangelist. He says, would you please pray for my hearing? And he said, yes, brother. And immediately he reached up. He sticks his hands in this man's ears and rebukes Satan in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Took his fingers out and he says, how you feel? He says, I feel fine. He says, how's your hearing? He says, I don't know. It's not for 2 weeks. Gotcha. When I was asking the Lord about joking and stuff like that, you know, about coming up, because you hear many ministries come up, you know, and TMA and tell Brother Oscar and a lot of others. And it was like the Lord was saying, no, it's kind of good because a merry heart. And he says, those jokes are for medicinal purposes. Because when you tell something like that, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, Christians are kind of heavy, you know, because we have our fair share of battles, probably even more so sometimes than the people in the world, because we know what is good to do, and then when we don't do that, which is good, Romans 6 and 7, Paul, you could just tell the frustration in the tone of his voice. You know I should do the good things, but the good things I know I should do, daggone it. You know, I still say things. I still think things, you know. And then, of course, the great verse is, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Oh, thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be delivered. And the past few weeks, the Lord's been sharing with me. I'll see which way this is going to go, because this is actually a three-part message that I'm going to do in half hour. The first part of this, God gave me a poem. We'll start with that. And okay. About 5 or 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a poem. I've just been chewing on this thing for weeks, several weeks, even down in Florida. I've been meditating on it and chewing on it. And it goes like this. It says, have you heard the call? That's a good question right there. Yeah. Have you heard me calling? I stopped and pondered that for a while, and I thought, really, you know, what does that mean? You know, God's called each and every one of us. Wouldn't we all agree to that? If he didn't, you wouldn't be sitting here in the light you're sitting in. You'd be out there somewhere in the darkness where we all were at one time. But it said, have you heard the call? Do you feel the draw? Have you heard the calling? Do you feel my drawing? He said, if you've heard my call and you sense my draw, now it's time to enter into my stall. That part I really chewed on a long time. Stall. And then I thought of Bill Britton's vision, the harness of the Lord. I think just about everybody here that's a wings person has read that particular poem. If you hadn't, I would really encourage you to go online. It is online. And Brother Bill Britton was the one that got the vision from the Lord. And it was called The Harness of the Lord. You would recommend that, wouldn't you, Brother Oscar? It's a wonderful, wonderful vision of how basically Bill, you'd have to read it for yourself, but I'll give you my own quick interpretation. Basically, Bill saw all these horses out in the plains. They were wild Mustangs, and they were all running free, and the wind was blowing through their mane, and beautiful animals. But they didn't want to come into the corral. And they did go. He did see in his vision where God went and brought some of these animals into the corral, and he corralled them up, and some of them calmed down. But even at that rate, some of them jumped the fence, and they said, no, I'm going to go back out on the plains of Montana and just run and be free, okay? And then there was some that God had selected, or the farmer, whatever we want to call it. He selected a few of them, and he put them in a stall. And in the stall, they were fed by the master's hand. It was a place where they could come in out of the storm. You know, sometimes when we think of a stall, we go, I don't know if I'm going to be stalled up. So that was one of the first things that hit me. Of course, the flesh always hits you. When the word of the Lord comes, the enemy, the flesh, whatever you want to call him, he comes immediately to take the seed away. And in this poem, when it says, have you heard the call? Do you feel the draw? Then it's time to enter into my stall. I thought, there's got to be something else that rhymes with that. Something more positive, something that's more encouraging, you know? Because when you think of a stall, I don't know, to be stalled up. But then it says, have you heard the call? Do you feel the draw? And now it's time to enter into my stall. I am putting you in a place of my sovereign grace. Wow. What's that mean? To ensure your stability throughout the rest of the race.
Amen. That's good.
And I put in parentheses, ensure is INSURE. To ensure your stability. Because without him, we're pretty unstable. So, I'm putting you in a place of my sovereign grace to ensure your stability throughout the rest of the race. At times, it will feel like a very tight place, but it's designed to bring you in to see me face to face. And as you see me face to face, I will become your hiding place. Or your secret place. So receive the works of my hand, so I can bring you forth into the fullness of my plan. So as I was meditating on that for weeks, the Lord started talking to me about the first part of that was the call. And the Lord started challenging me in the sense that he was saying, what does call mean, son? What does my call mean to you? What does God's call mean to you? I didn't really have an immediate answer. I really had to think about that. I had to think about what the call meant, what you were called for, why he called you or me. Have you ever thought about that? Because when you're calling somebody, you're calling them. Come here, Brenda. Come here, Oscar. Come here, Marge. Come here, Dallas. So I looked up the definition in the Bible of the word call. And boy, was it a beautiful definition. The definition in Strong's of the word call, man, get ready for this. It's an invitation to a feast. We talked a great deal about that feast, Rich. I know this is going to talk to your heart. God's inviting us to a feast. This isn't just any feast we're talking about here, Wings. We are a privileged and honored people by God. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb that God's talking about. The bride. It's an invitation to be His bride. This is a very special hour that we're in. It really, really is. And then the definition of the word call also meant this. And to me, this sums it up in a nutshell. It's just beautiful. The call means the divine invitation to embrace the salvation in the kingdom of God. Wow. Isn't that powerful? God's calling you to embrace all He is in His kingdom. Praise God. And as I meditated on it, I thought about that word embrace. And what is embrace? Embrace is when you do this. You reach out and you pull it in. There is something we have to do. There really is. There really is something we have to do. I know that the grace message is a powerful and a wonderful, precious message of God. It has revolutionized my life the past 3-4 years, listening to some of the grace ministries that God has raised up in the earth today. It's a tremendous word, but sometimes I think it could give you the impression that there really isn't anything to do on your part. Just kick back and relax. Although I do have a poem like that where the Lord put in there, kick back and relax. But there is something we have to do. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord wants me to stress here this morning, that everything that comes from this pulpit, every word that comes from this pulpit, is all about His love. When we get a word of wisdom from the Father, it's because He loves us. When we get a word of knowledge from the Father, it's because He's trying to reveal His love. When we get a healing from the Lord, He's trying to reveal His love. Everything He does, He's trying to reveal His love. Everything. He's trying to reveal His nature. That, I believe, is one of the main reasons that Christ came to earth in the flesh, to reveal the Father. Sure, did He come to save us? Absolutely. He came to save us from a mind that didn't comprehend who He was. We were afraid of Him. We wouldn't trust in Him. I knew that when I was growing up as a young man, all I could think about was an eternal fire. I used to lay in bed at night wondering how long eternity is, because if I went into that fire that some of the people at the church I was going to at that time, man, they were trying to scare me into heaven. But you know, you can't get scared into heaven, you get loved into heaven. It's the love of God that leads a man and a woman to repent. It's the love. God is not out to fear you. He is out to love you into His kingdom. He has already embraced us at the cross. He embraced us even though we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So, that cross at Calvary is like this. He's open. He's embracing the whole world. That's the reason why they put Him on that cross. Now, this is just coming to me right now, I'll tell you. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, that's the reason why He was on the cross like this. From the east to the west to the north to the south, that cross represented, I'm here to embrace all of you, all of my creation. I love all of you. And all the Lord is saying is, embrace me. I've already done everything that you need to have done. You have to come and embrace me to let me reveal to you the treasures that are already hidden in your earthen vessel. But you will not know if you will not come. If I be lifted up from the earth, I know that the elementary understanding of that scripture is when Jesus died on the cross, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But he's also saying, if you will lift me up, I will draw you away from the earth, from the carnal realm. If I be lifted up in your life, if you seek me, I will draw you away from the world. Even though you're in the world, I can bring you out of the world. I can protect you from the powers of the evil one. I've already dismantled him. He is powerless. He is toothless when it comes to you. But until you embrace my plan of redemption and understand that it's already finished, love expressed, here's a poem, love expressed in all its glory is the Christ redemption story. Love has been a mystery before all time. Its only desire is to make all things rhyme. If you want to see love's glory, then take a deep look at the redemption story. For in its words of truth and grace, you will see the wonders of the Savior's face. And as you do, you will come to know there's nothing that compares down here below. So keep on seeking his glory from above, and he will surely fill you with his abundant love. Then all nations here below will see his face and be transformed by his amazing grace. But we've got to look at the redemption story. You've got to understand the gospel, because it's the gospel of Christ that is the power unto salvation. It's the power unto salvation. So, you know, the Lord, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here he is again. You going to him? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's always coming to us. Oh, Lord, I can't hear you. I don't know if you're with me or not. Sometimes I think the reason why people say, I can't hear the Lord. Are you saying, if I can't hear him, then I don't have to do his will? Is that what we're saying? I mean, I know that there's a time when we first get saved that things are really muddled. Some of us have greater salvation experiences than others. I don't understand the moves of God. I mean, some people got testimonies that will blow you out of your chair. And sometimes we sit there and go, well, why didn't he deal with me that way, you know? Well, that's okay. He saved the best to last. He's going to blow you out of your chair too, so don't worry about it. There was a prayer that I was going to pray at the beginning, and it was a prayer for all of us, and it was just a short prayer that the Lord gave me, and it said, Lord, take me into the heavenlies so I can see the new kingdom day that's dawning in me. The hour has come for my visitation, so open wide your heart with no hesitation. All the more his truth we seek, the greater rest we'll find. For his truth will root out those things that captivate our mind. And as we free our mind to see the wonder of his ways, we will walk out into his light and see the brighter day. For you see, it's not God's will for you to walk in the days gone by. For he is calling you into a new day that shines as the noonday sky. So look up, my friend, and seek his face so you can rest in the greater place. It's a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of love forevermore, where we are seated at his side, a place forever to abide. Another poem. Praise God for this new day. How wonderful it is to see the shadows fleeing away. God has an open door for those who would see. He's taking off the blinders to come up and be in His image, in His likeness, so that others might see the glorious new creation that He's calling us to be. And so the Lord says here in this, so please, my precious ones, respond unto me so I can put you on display for all the world to see. For truly you have entered into the day of the revelation of me. You are the new day of the Lord. You are the new day of the Lord. So think about your calling at some point. I had other scriptures that I was going to read about calling. Probably wouldn't hurt to read them. I just kind of love freewheeling because I just really feel the Lord just, you know, fill in the cup. And okay. I had scriptures on the calling, but I'll let you look them up for yourself. Okay, Paul says in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. And you know, when I read that, he said, where is the riches in my glory? It's in the saints. He says, so many of my children, as I call them into this new day, they get kind of a puffy thing about them. And they go, well, I don't, you know, I'm going to go out on my own. And, you know. And he says, but my inheritance is in the saints. It's in the saints. You can isolate yourself. You can go home and do your TV church, whatever you want to do. But you can't be gathering together and fellowshipping with one another. Who has saved us, and He has called us. Remember, we're still on the call. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to your works. Praise God for that. Let this pierce your heart right now. He has called us according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh my God. Oh my God. This calling was before the world began. What's happening right now in God's body as the Lord releases this light and as He's raising us up into a higher realm, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Again, this is a heavenly calling. I think so many of us get stuck in earthly blessings when it's a heavenly calling. But if you never spend time with the Lord and receive from the hand of the Lord, He'll always just be a blesser to you. Ask and you shall receive. Okay. But at some point, we got to seek. At some point, we got to seek. Some of us, some of our brothers and sisters never get out of the asking category. I need this, I need that, I'm hurting, helping. And that's okay. I mean, it really is okay. The Lord understands that. And again, like we were talking about in Sunday school, it's the baby stage. You know, some just don't get out of the baby stage. They just keep asking, but they never really seek to come into an understanding and a knowledge of who the Lord is and who they are in Him. Because unless you see His face, you'll never really know your true identity. Because you are the Christ. As the body is many members, so is the Christ. So is Christ. You are the Christ of God. He's the head. We're the body. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there are messages that are going to be coming forth. They're already starting to come forth. And it's about what Kelly Varner used to minister. Kelly Varner talked about, I want what's behind door number 3. You got door number 1, asking. You got door number 2, which is seeking. But I want to go into door number 3. That's where the Father is. That's where the glory is. He said, I'll take door number 3. Let's see. The Lord says the more we seek after and desire His kingdom, the greater your reality of me will increase and expand. But we got to seek. Respond to my grace, the Lord says. Press in to perceive. The definition of the word perceive is to become aware, to realize, to come to the reality of what God is saying, to understand and discern. Press in to perceive, the Lord says. And then He says, you will make contact to conceive. Conceive means to bring forth, to become pregnant, to form a plan in your mind, your renewed mind. When you press into God, you'll start conceiving. There'll be something that'll start birthing in you. And then God says that my grace will continue to impart my faith in order for you to believe. So perceive what it is I'm trying to do in your life, and then conceive it. Let's bring birth to it. And I will give you the ability to believe. And the definition of believe is to accept as true, or the truthfulness of God, to be sure of the truth of what you are seeing and what you are hearing. And that's where faith comes from. Faith is the substance of that. So, okay, we've been called. Now what? Now comes part 2, the draw. There is coming a great grace upon my people who are in the race and keeping pace. When I read that, I said, Lord, I don't know if that sounds fair. What do you mean? Well, you got here people that are in the race and they're keeping pace. You know, what happens if they're not keeping pace? He said, then they don't need the grace. If you're not interested in coming into a higher realm with me, or go deeper in me, or understand who I am, if you're content where you're at, my grace is available. Abundance of grace. But if we become too preoccupied with the things of the world and quote the blessings of God, and I love all the ministries in the earth today, but the prosperity message in that concerns me at times. I think it's good to listen to it, but let's move beyond that realm. Let's don't stay there and want bigger cars and more lands and more houses. There's coming a great grace upon my people who are in the race and keeping pace. It is a grace to lead and a grace to guide. And now here's the second part of the sermon. It's the draw. Remember, we got the call, we got the draw. He says, this grace, it's a place to draw you to my side. He will draw you. A place where I can lead you through the storms. A place where there will be no harm. A place where they can have life and abide. He's talking about Zoe life. He's not talking about Suke life. He's talking about God's life. A place where they can come and hide. A place where my power will be released upon the earth that's seeking peace. For I desire that all be saved and come into the Lord's new day. For my blood was shed for all mankind, so that all would come into the divine. And to draw means to draw by the inward power to lead and to impel. I think of the Shulamite woman. The Shulamite woman said, "Draw me, and I will run after thee." And when she said that, she didn't realize it, but she was just giving herself an invitation to come into the stall. Because when you ask the Lord to draw you, He will. He'll answer your prayer. And you will come into the stall of the Lord. And I was when I was reading the Song of Songs where she said, "Draw me, Lord, and I will run after you," it said, then He brought her into His chambers. Uh-oh. Praise God. He brought her into His chambers. And the Lord was saying, it's kind of comparable to the stall. You know, you take those stallions. Stall is S-T-A-L-L. I don't know why this hit me, but stallion is S-T-A-L-L-I-O-N. But it's like stallion, stall. It's like God puts the stallions in the stall to work with them, face to face. Feed them, clean them, keep them clean. Keep their feet clean, keep their walk clean, keep the thrush. I had a horse one time. I had to lean in against that big boy and clean all the stuff, all the crap out of his hoofs. If he didn't do that, he'd get thrush. That's what the Lord does in the stall. Cleans up our walk. Cleans up our walk. Feeds us with good food. Milk, bread, and meat. Okay? The stall's a good place. How do you know when you're in the stall? The Lord gave me a poem some time back. I didn't realize at that time. But here's the poem that came out of me. I can't go here and I can't go there. Seems I can't go anywhere. I'm hedged in. I can't go out. Seems like nothing is happening about. I'm hedged in. You know that feeling when you can be in the midst of a crowd, even in your own church, and feel like I don't belong? Even though you do. You're in the stall. God's got His hand around you. The poem goes on, "What can I do? Where can I go?" Well, see, that's what we always do when we get in the stall. What can I do, Lord? What can I do for you? I don't want you to do anything for me. I'm trying to get you to be something, not do something. Now, when I bring you to the place where you be, then you can do. There's too many of us, I believe, in God's church today that are out there doing, but they're not being. And God's raising up a people in this new day, in this hour, that are going to have substance, that are going to walk in the real faith of God. They're going to have real substance. And their life is going to demonstrate that. Now, I don't know what they've been before, but I know that when God lets you out of the stall and you start pulling the King's chariot down through Main Street, like Bill Britton talked about in The Harness of the Lord, all them ponies that ran off under the hillside that wanted to be free, like Brother Shep said, they call it freedom, I call it free doom. They don't want to get tied up with the church. You know, they just don't want to get involved. I mean, I got Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. You are. Amen. It's 10,000 times better than where you're at right now. When you die, you are going to go to a place because it's by grace. It isn't anything that you've done. But a lot of our denominations have taken these precious souls, and they just talk to them about heaven all the time out there somewhere. And then you have to walk down the aisle at least once a month to stay saved. But the poem goes on and says, "What can I do? Where can I go? Things just seem to be moving too slow." And the Lord said, "Sit down. Kick back. I've called you into this place to relax. It's a place of rest, a place of peace, a place where you can get release from all the struggles below and all the stories of earthly woe. You may feel like you're hedged in, but it's just the place where I brought you in." That's the stall. He brought, He brought the Shulamite woman into his chamber. She said, "Draw me, and I will run to thee." And then it said, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." And in the chambers, she says, "We will be glad and rejoice in thee." Really glad, really rejoicing, not working up praise. Really coming in, and in your heart, it's just, hallelujah, praise God. You just feel his life in you. You can just feel it. And the king brought her into his chambers, and I looked up the Strong's, the definition of chambers. It says into the inner chamber, into the inner parts, into the innermost parts. A bed chamber, a place of intimacy. God's looking for Shulamites. The Bible says she's 1 in 10,000, is Oscar, 1 in 20,000? 1 in 10,000, I think. I think the Bible said that the Shulamite woman was 1 in 10,000. I don't really know if the Lord's saying 1 out of every 10. You know, I'll start sounding like our neighbors next door, the Jehovah's Witness. 144,000 going to make it. Everybody else, you're on your own. But, so, when you say to the Lord, "Draw me," get ready to be drawn. Yes. Get ready to lay it down. Yes. Get ready to respond. Get ready to be obedient. Is it easy? No. Will God give you cancer if you don't get obedient? No. No. Cancer doesn't give you hope. God gives you hope. Yes. Well, in spite of cancer, he'll still give you hope. But that scripture, Rich, that I read this morning, I can't find it now. It was in one other thing I think before I close. God really is raising up a people, wants to raise up a people in this hour, a people of wisdom. And the only place you get wisdom is from the Lord. He is wisdom. He is the tree of wisdom. He is the tree of life. And how do I get this wisdom? It's really hard. There you go. If any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him. Thank you. So the Lord desires to give wisdom. He desires to do so much. Well, actually, he desires to show us how much he's already done. So, when God draws you, there will be a separation. You'll just feel a separation. You'll just kind of feel like an oddball. I don't know how to put it. Certainly you find it difficult to fellowship with some of your other brothers that are still waiting for the rapture. You can. But he'll bring about a separation. And separation is a state of moving or being moved apart from another state of being. And then in that separation, there'll be an expectation, the Lord said, an expectation which is a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. Good expectations. King David said, "All my expectations are in the Lord." This is where we have, I think, a lot of problems in the body, in our individual lives, is expectations of other people. Rich, there's a song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, Looking for Love in Many Faces." And I think a lot of times we look for love in faces instead of the face. The face. We get angry with people. We get bitter. All a trick of the enemy. All a trick to keep you earthbound. All a trick to rob you of your inheritance and your blessings in this earth. I know most of our brothers and sisters are waiting to get over there for the inheritance and for the blessings. But the Lord says, I want heaven to come to earth, in your earth, okay? We get angry, we get bitter, so on and so forth. And I'll tell you another interesting thing that the Lord spoke to me by the Spirit. And he said, anger is the doorkeeper to a lot of other dark chambers inside of you. He stands at the door, and when you try and touch, open one of those doors, the demon of anger, he's in your face. Leave that door alone. I throw that in as a little side dish because I really believe that God spoke that to me. This is something that the Lord wants to rid his body of anger and bitterness, because it's robbing us of the blessings of God and of the power of God. So expectation, then participation, the Lord said. I'll separate you. You'll have a great expectation and a participation. That means participation is an action of taking part in something, getting involved and contributing. Then he threw the word determination out. Strength of will, a firm decision to do, to aim, to press toward the mark. And then he said, after the expectation, the participation, the determination, you arrive at your destination, which is the ultimate place to which someone is going. The place at which separate parts, the destination, our destiny, basically, to make a long story short. And he said, if you will join in the race, I will give you an abundant grace in order for you to know your place and see my face. And then he had me look up the definition of the word join. And join is the place at which separate parts of one thing are joined or united together in such a way to permit motion. And when we join ourselves together with the head, when we all join ourselves together with the head, we're all going to be joining ourselves together with that one thing, which is Christ. And he says, and what you do, what's going to happen is you are going to permit motion. My motion is going to move in your midst. I'm going to do things that your mind hasn't even conceived of. But we've got to be joined to the head. Because if you get joined to the head and I'm joined to the head, guess what? We are one. We are one. Okay? So, and after all that, and I'm done, we are being in the stall. The Lord says you are being conditioned. Condition means to bring something into its desired state for use. Good definition. And then you will be positioned. After you've been conditioned, I will put you or arrange you in a particular place to situate you and to set you and to stand. And then I will commission you. I will give an order to authorize the production of my building and trust in a person with authority. I'm going to condition you in the stall. I'm going to position you in the stall. And I'm going to commission you. If you don't want to go into the chambers with the Lord, if you don't want to allow the Lord to put you in the stall, I'm not so sure you'll ever be commissioned and given the power and authority of God. In days past, I know that there's been a lot of men through God's providence that had tremendous power and authority, miracles. I'm not so sure that that's the hour that we're in right now. I think the hour that we're in right now is you're going to have to lay down your life to pick up his life. And as he transforms you, into the image of his dear son, he will then be able to trust you with his power and authority. And frankly, I don't want power or authority until I know I'm in union with him. Hopefully that'll come in this lifetime. But thy will be done. Amen. Okay. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, help us to absorb this word. Again, this is a work of your grace, but again, we've got to embrace this word. We've got to reach out and bring it into our bosom and say, Lord, make this life to me. Quicken me. Quicken me. The Lord says, you are in the hour of my quickening, children. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Quicken us, Father, by your Spirit. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I just feel that God desires to do something so powerful. And I know he's gathering a people together from the east, north, south, and west. I know he is. But I pray that God would gather our little fellowship right here together. Don't want just two or three or four that's gathered together. I want us all to be gathered together and holding fast to the head. My Lord, if two can put 10,000 to flight, oh my God, what could 50 do? Oh my God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your life, your transforming life. That's even transforming us now, Father. I can feel my life being transformed as I look to you, Lord, by your grace, Lord. Just laying hold of your grace, Father, to stay in the race, to see your face, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have any song that you want to play?
Oh, true. After you.